Okay, we'll be in Exodus chapter number 18 this morning. Exodus chapter number 18. And we are continuing our series from Egypt to the Promised Land. And in this series, our goal is to better understand and appreciate God's care and his guidance for his people through our look at Israel's experience here in the wilderness. Last week, we learned about having victory over battles through Israel's first battle with the Amalekites. And we saw, first of all, the reality of the battle. We hope the journey as a Christian is going to be a smooth and uneventful one, right? Whenever we start following Jesus, we want things to be easy. We want the road to be very smooth, clear-cut, and quick. We don't anticipate the difficulties. We don't anticipate that there's going to be battles along the road. Because when looking at Israel, they thought whenever they left Egypt, we're going to the Promised Land. It's leaving one place, going into another. But there was a lot that happened in between, right?
Right.
And that's what happens in our lives as well. And so in the reality of the battle, it's rarely going to be a simple and uneventful life, because whenever we decide to follow Jesus, we also gain his enemies. And so we know that we have the world, the flesh, and the devil that are all constantly warring with us. We have this flesh wanting to do the things it shouldn't do and struggling to do the things it should. The world looking at us as if we're weird for doing the things of God because it's contrary to the world. And all along, the devil does not like it whenever we live righteously. He wants to ruin us any way he can. And so there is a reality of the battle. But second, we said we must run into the battle. There's a tendency for us to try to run away from it or try to ignore it and pretend like it doesn't exist. But if we ignore it, if we try to run away from it, we're going to find that it's going to overcome us.
Right.
Instead, what we need to do is, since we have enemies, we need to be alert, we need to be prepared, we need to be proactive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Third, we said that we have a reliance in battle. We don't fight alone. We don't fight by our own strength. We find that in the story that we looked at last week of Moses holding up the rod as the battle was going on, as he held up the rod, they prevailed. Whenever he let it down, the Amalekites prevailed. And that showed a reliance, a dependence on God, that rather than thinking that we're living this life by our own strength, our own ability, our own intelligence, our own knowledge, we need to see that we're not doing it by ourselves. We're doing it through the power of God. It is Christ that strengthens us. It is him that we rely on, that without him we can do nothing. So we stay close to Christ for the victory. And then lastly, we saw that there's reinforcements in the battle. Whenever Moses grew weak and tired, he had others to support him and others to lift him up. And so we need to allow others to hold us up when we're weak. And whenever we are strong, we need to be holding others up. And this is kind of what we were looking at a little bit in Sunday school. This is a principle that's going to carry over a little bit into the message for today as well. And so as we're continuing here, good news travels fast, right?
Yeah.
And so it wasn't long after their victory that Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, heard about all that God had been doing for the children of Israel. It seems that Moses had sent his wife and his sons away back to Midian while things were getting a little bit tense in Egypt. We don't know exactly when it happened, but they came with Moses back to Egypt. But whenever they left Egypt, Moses' wife and kids weren't with him. They were back there in Midian. And so now Jethro is bringing them for a great reunion, for a celebration out there in the wilderness. And so in the first half of chapter number 18, they're catching up, and Moses is telling about all the things that God has done, and Jethro just seems to be soaking it in. He's thrilled to hear about the God of Israel. It seems as if maybe he was still on the fence about him up until this point in time. And so anyway, after things calm down a little bit, Jethro has the chance to observe daily life there in the camp of the Israelites. And whenever he does that, there are some things that he notices that causes a little concern for him. And so that's what we're going to look at here in Exodus chapter 18. Begin reading with me here down in verse number 13. Okay, Exodus 18 and verse 13. It says, "And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses set to judge the people. And the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto even? And Moses said unto his father-in-law, Because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them to know the statutes of God and his laws. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, The thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now to my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shall show them the way wherein they must walk and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge, so shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace. So Moses hearkened unto the voice of his father-in-law, and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel, and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And they judged the people at all seasons. The hard causes they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way into his own land. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come to you today. Thank you for your word. We thank you for the great lessons that we learn from it. Lord, the great truths that we can apply to our lives, and Lord, that it can prosper us and strengthen us and make us better equipped, Lord, in this life. I pray, Lord, ask you that you would just help me now as I preach your word, that you would guide and direct my thoughts and give me clarity of mind and speech. Be with each person here that they would gain from this service exactly what is needed for this day. I pray, Lord, for the spiritual needs of every person here. If there's one struggling, if there's one far away from you, Lord, just help them, just draw them to you. If there's one here today that is lost and undone without you as their Savior, that today would be the day that they would place their faith and trust in you, Lord, for the forgiveness of their sin and the salvation of their souls. Lord, we just ask you, Lord, now just be with us as we preach. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen.
Amen.
How do you respond to unsolicited advice? What do you think of that question? How do you respond to unsolicited advice? I've kind of made a rule for myself that I try not to give advice and opinions unless I'm asked for it, except of course with my family, because that's part of my responsibility. But I try to stick to this because I know how most people respond to unsolicited advice. I know that most of the time, if I stick my nose in someone else's business, it's not going to be appreciated. And so advice that is not requested is usually not going to be heeded, right? We also know all the stereotypes for in-laws, don't we? All of the cliches about in-laws. And so I wonder what Moses' initial response to his father-in-law coming to him and saying, the thing that thou doest is not good. Put yourself in Moses' position for a moment. Because Moses was the one that was chosen by God. He had led the people out of Egypt. He had been the one that stood before Pharaoh and confronted him. He was the one that stood at the Red Sea and parted the water. He was the one that interceded on behalf of the people. He was God's man for that position, right? Mm-hmm. How dare Jethro come to him and say, hey, this isn't very smart what you're doing, right? It seems that maybe Jethro wasn't even a believer up to this point, as I pointed out a moment ago, because if you go back to chapter 18 and verse 11, it says, "Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, for in the thing wherein they dwelt proudly, he was above them." And so he says, after I see all God has done, now I know he's the true God. Now, so who is Jethro to tell Moses anything, right? I know that's how our flesh would act. I know that's how I would act. Who do you think you are? How dare you say that to me? But I'm glad that this wasn't the way that Moses responded, right? It's not how Moses responded. Instead, we find that Moses responded very graciously, as well as taking Jethro's advice. He didn't just say, okay, well, he's my father-in-law, I'm going to be nice to him. He's like, hey, he actually has something to offer. He actually says something of value. Hey, this is actually a good idea. See, most of the time, whenever we are receiving advice that we didn't ask for, we dismiss it outright. But Moses didn't do that. And so this gracious response, as well as Jethro's good advice, is instructive to us as we go through this life. In Moses' position, no doubt, he was carrying a heavy load. And Jethro was simply looking for a way to help him to bear it. And so this idea that Jethro had given him was going to lessen his load by spreading the load. Lessen the load by allowing other people to join him in the burden. And so let's walk through this passage and see how we can share the load. Simple enough, right? And so the first thing that we see in all of this is that a man has limitations. We don't like to admit that we have limits. We, in our pride and even our arrogance sometimes, think that we have to handle everything alone. And we often take way too much on ourselves. If you put yourself in Jethro's shoes, imagine the scene that he was looking at. Israel was no small people. We find that it's given to us in Scripture that the number of Israel was somewhere around 600,000 people, not counting women and children. The number could have easily been up to 2 million people on this wilderness camping trip. I'll tell you this, I would not want to be in Moses' position. But Jethro is here looking at this, and there is a huge number of people, and Moses is responsible for all of them. If that's not enough, this is a people who had been slaves. They were used to bondage. They were used to being told what to do. They were used to being in a routine. And now they were free. Now they had no stability. They were in a completely new situation, and they were having to figure things out day by day. They had a lot of questions.
Of course.
We can understand that, right?
Yes.
And so Moses would have set out in the place that he would have appointed, and the people would have just queued forever. I don't know about you, I hate waiting in queues, but they were queuing forever just to come and stand before Moses and inquire of him about what God would have them to do. And so that would have been extremely exhausting. And Jethro simply told Moses, this isn't sustainable. You can't keep this up. You can't keep this pace. And he says it's not just for Moses' sake. He says it's going to wear you out, but it's also going to wear out all of those people who depend on you.
Yeah.
We can't continue this thing of queuing up all day long just waiting to get our questions answered. We need a better system. Mm-hmm. And so what can we learn from this? Well, if we've already seen that one man can't carry it all, right? We are limited, right? So the first thing we take from this is that you can't carry it all.
Right.
If Moses and all of his capability was taking on too much for himself, if he had his limitations, you can guarantee you do as well, right? Western culture is highly individualistic. Can we agree on that?
Yes.
Not all of us are from a Western culture, but we can see it where we live. Western culture is very individualistic. Also very proud, right?
Yeah.
And I know as American, it's probably even more so for me, okay? But we have phrases like a self-made man. Everyone heard that phrase before?
Yeah.
A self-made man. Or pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
Yeah, that's
Have you heard that one?
Yes.
These are phrases that saying it's all up to me. I have to do it all. I'm not relying on anyone else but myself. Okay? And this is what Moses was doing at this point. He's saying, I am the leader of the people. Everybody's relying on me. Everybody comes to me. I have to answer everyone. I have to solve everyone's problems. I have to fix everything. I have to know everything. And Jethro looked at him and said, you are going to burn out. You are not able to sustain this pace. You cannot carry it all alone. And so this idea of being a self-made man or pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, that's misleading. It's impossible. You can't do that.
Right.
There's a pressure, as I said, to figure it all out by yourself, to have everything together. You see the crowd of faces and they're all depending on you. That's a huge amount of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Feeling responsible for everything and everyone gets very heavy. And see, the way this practically works out in a lot of our lives is we take on responsibilities that aren't ours to take on.
Yes.
What I mean by that is we are worried about everyone. We are looking at everyone. We are trying to help everyone. We're trying to figure out what everyone else should do. We're trying to advise everyone else, right? I know in a church setting, we've talked about caring for one another, bearing one another's burdens, but there is a balance in this. Whenever we're talking about caring for everyone else, it's easy, even as a pastor, to be concerned whenever I'm seeing different things. I cannot be the Holy Spirit in everybody else's life.
Right.
But there is a tendency amongst Christians to do that, to try to manage everyone else, to try to control everyone else, to try to have an opinion and an answer for everyone else. That's not sustainable. We can't do that. And this is going to be at the individual level. And it's going to be, as I said, as a pastor or a leader, as a leader in the home or a leader at the workplace, there's going to be times that we are tempted to take on everybody's weights, everyone's burdens, everyone's responsibility, and feel like it all hinges on me.
Yes.
That it's all my responsibility. And this example here with Moses lets us know we have limitations. We can't carry everything. God has designed things a specific way. He has designed things that were our place and things that are not.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll tell you, in all of this that we're talking about right now, I'm probably as guilty as anyone. I know even last week in the message, I had mentioned about being transparent, about sharing the burden, sharing loads, right? And I got home and my wife confronted me. She said, you were preaching to yourself, weren't you? Okay, I'm like, yes. Just because I'm up here saying it don't mean I have it all under control. But here's the thing, is we do take responsibility seriously, but we start taking responsibility from other people that's not ours to take. I can't live the Christian life for anyone else. I can't take responsibility for decisions that I can't make. Does that make sense? As parents, this is something that's a huge thing. As children start growing up, become adults, start making their own decisions, that's hard. And so we start taking responsibility for things that we have no control over. We start taking responsibility for things that aren't ours to take responsibility for. And so we have to realize we can't carry it all. We find that even Jesus had disciples. I'm not making Jesus any less, but he said, hey, look here, I'm not doing it alone. David had his mighty men. Paul had men like Timothy and Titus and Luke and several others. We don't find this whole one-man show philosophy in Scripture, but we try to live it in our Christian life. We try to live it in our day-to-day life. We can't do it all. And so whether it's at work, at home, or at church, one person can't carry it all. And with that same idea in place here, we can't put all of the weight on one man. So this is the opposite extreme, right? Take everything upon myself or rely wholeheartedly on one other person. Israel liked this setup. Moses carried the weight, and for the time, he was doing it well. We don't have to think. We don't have to decide. We don't have to cultivate our relationship with God. That's what we got Moses for. He made the decisions. He did the thinking. He had to walk with God. He took the load. He took the responsibility off of them. And so they just outsourced that department. They said, hey, this is easy. This is comfortable. We'll let Moses worry about it. Why do you think so many people fall for cults?
Yes.
We like this, right? It's like, hey, just tell me what to do. Just tell me what to believe. I know there's been times there's been people that was newly saved or very, very new believers, okay? And they had the mentality, just whatever you say, right? Tell me what to do. Tell me what to believe. That's dangerous.
Yes.
Okay? We'll get to that in just a minute, though. But people fall for cults because it's not my responsibility. I don't have to think. I don't have to decide. I'll just outsource it to them. I'll just follow what they believe. And that's dangerous with any religion. Whenever they tell you don't think, just obey. We can't outsource. We can't check our brains at the door. And so it's dangerous to give all the responsibility to one person. And I doubt there's anywhere that it's more dangerous than in religion. And so that's one reason why we're going through all these things in Sunday school at the moment, talking about how everyone is involved, that everyone cares for one another, about the unity, the involvement of the believers, that it's not about one person. It's not that you come to church to hear what I have to say. It's not that you're spectators and you just listen to what I have to say and it's requiring nothing of you. It's that we are all participants, that we are all taking part. And so it's not that I'm Moses and you're Israel, and it's just like, okay, whatever you say, Moses. It's no, we need everyone to be on board with this.
Right.
We can't put it all off on one man. Don't outsource your walk with God to me. Don't outsource your Christianity to someone else. Don't make everything in your relationship with God dependent on anyone else. You need to take some personal responsibility for that. And not only that, I think we need to be spreading it out and have several people that can speak truth into our lives.
Yes.
All things can't be put on one man.
Right.
So you can't carry all the weight of every decision, of all responsibility by yourself, but also don't swing to the opposite extreme and outsource every bit of it. Don't follow someone blindly. Don't obey without question. Don't rely on someone else to do everything for you.
Right.
Okay? And so it goes both ways here. What happens whenever a boss puts everything on one employee? They quit, right?
Yeah.
What happens whenever mom has to take care of everything at home? It's not going to be a happy home, right? Kids aren't doing chores. The husband's not helping out. It's mom has to do everything at home. Not a happy house. Or whenever a church is made up of all spectators, no participants. It's not sustainable. It's not something that continue going on. And so, one part, we are limited as human beings. We can't do everything, and we can't expect someone else to do everything for us. And so that brings us to the second thought here, the distributed responsibility. Moses had probably not had a whole lot of time to think things through. He was just figuring it out as he went. And I think really that's the reality of the human experience. No one has it figured out. We're all figuring it out as we go.
Right.
But Moses didn't have enough time to give much thought to this situation. He was extremely busy. But Jethro sat back as a somewhat neutral third party, and he saw a clear solution.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, this is where we need to be open to advice. We need to be open to other people's insights and opinions. We don't have to have all the answers. That's a thing of pride, isn't it?
Yes.
And so rather than saying, Jethro, who are you to talk to me like that? He's saying, hey, he might have something of value to offer me.
Mm-hmm.
And so he allowed that responsibility that he had to shift to Jethro. And he says, okay, I've been coming up with everything, but hey, if you have something valuable to contribute, by all means. And so anyway, Jethro came up with a solution. Moses needed to share the load. He needed to distribute the responsibility. He needed to deputize some people.
Mm-hmm.
He could give guidelines. He could teach principles. He could entrust others to take care of small problems and reserve himself for the hardest of things.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have to come to him for every little thing if he would teach them, right? The lines would die down. Moses' job would be easier. And the people would learn to think for themselves,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
This is something that's important in churches, is that we need to come, we need to learn, we need to be equipped, we need to grow, so we are not dependent on someone else for everything, for our entire relationship with God. It doesn't need to be an outsourcing of, what do I believe? Let me go ask my pastor. Right. What do I believe? Well, let me check with my Sunday school teacher. What do I believe? Let me check with the Bible, because I've got a brain.
Right.
How about that?
Yes.
And so we can see another example of this principle in Acts chapter number 6. This is one that we've talked about a lot lately in Sunday school. But in Acts chapter number 6, the apostles knew their place. They knew their limitations. The church came to them and said, hey, there's some people being left out. There's some ministry that is suffering here in places that need some oversight. And they said, okay, that's not something we can do. If we take on this responsibility, then our main responsibilities are going to suffer. So how about we delegate some other people to take on this responsibility? And they appointed the first deacons, right? And so they entrusted them to part of the ministry. The disciples didn't, or the apostle didn't say, hey, we can't let anybody else have a part of this. This is our thing. They said, no, this is about God. This is about his people. This is about the health of the body. And so we need to have other people overseeing these things. We need to distribute the load. And so to distribute the responsibility, you have to let some things go. Moses had to let some things go. I'm sure he felt pretty good to have everybody looking to him, everybody depending on him. He was the number one guy. He was important. Everybody knew his name and everybody wanted to hear his voice. That feels good until it crushes you, right? It felt good to him, but it wasn't a good thing. I'm sure it was hard for him to make this transition. Could you imagine him being the only guy and then him spreading that responsibility, that authority, that all of that to several other people? Be like, wait for a second. People are coming to other people for advice. I'm not the only one anymore. If you have a fragile ego, that's a problem. There are plenty of churches today where the pastor will not share the responsibility. There are plenty of basically cult of personality, if you will, where it's all about one person. That's not biblical. That's not wise. It's not healthy. And so Moses had to be humble enough to be willing to share the load, but also to share the spotlight a bit.
Yes.
He selected the right people. Then he taught them what they needed to know. He gave them a structure to help them along. He didn't just abandon the post. He didn't just say, okay, fine then, you guys take it over. He's like, hey, the more people we have involved, the more people who are instructed, the more people who are equipped, the more capable the people's going to be. He was seeing the people successful, growing, not stunted. And so he didn't abandon his post. He entrusted and equipped people to ensure success. The control freak wants us to keep our hand on absolutely everything. I don't know if you, maybe you have a little bit of that in you. I must be in control. I want to have my hand on everything. I want to know everything. And to let go of that is hard. We want to feel needed. To feel essential, right? But it's far better for us to put energy into helping others grow to a place that they can carry on the load instead of adding to it. I'll say in a church, if the church is so dependent on the pastor that something happens to the pastor that the church falls apart if he leaves, that's a problem. That's something that we're trying to get away from here. If those who are looking to you for leadership could not function without you, you're probably not a good leader. Because good leadership is equipping others, is training others, and making it so that they can carry on whether you're there or you're not. And so it's far better to help grow people to a place that they can carry a load rather than adding to the load. And so that goes for the job where it might be tempting to carry all the load, just keep taking on responsibilities, keep on taking more and more. But it's better to train others to allow them to carry part of the load as well. In the home, successful parenting is working yourself out of a job. You don't want your children to be as dependent on you at 16 as they were at 6.
Right, exactly.
They need to have some abilities themselves. They need to be growing. They need to be developing. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's a hard transition. The husband needs to be carrying his part, the wife carrying her part, and teaching the children so that they're able to carry theirs as well. Mm-hmm. Children don't need to be 15, 16, 17 years old and still relying on mom to do all the cooking and cleaning and washing, and they're just sitting there soaking it up. Mm-hmm. Not picking on the kids, just an example, right?
Right.
At the church, we're teaching you so that you can teach others. We're equipping you to serve God faithfully so that whether I'm here or not, you're able to serve Him, that you're still faithful. It's encouraging to me that whenever there's people who leave this place for work or for whatever reason, and they go to the next place and they're still serving God.
Exactly, yes.
That is not contingent on one person, that they are looking unto God, that they are following Him, that they have a brain they can think for themselves. And so for Him to be able to spread the load, for Him to share the load, He had to be able to let go of a few things, but the people also needed to step up. Mm-hmm. People had to step up. The load had to be carried. Things had to be done. They just couldn't all be done by Moses.
Right.
And so He was willing to take Jethro's advice. He was willing to appoint others and train them, but they had to be willing to take up the mantle. They had to be teachable. They had to be willing to take on the responsibility. Mm-hmm. And they could have just said, no, Moses, that's your job. Don't expect me to do it. They could have just looked at Moses and said, nah, we like the way things are. We're not changing anything. That would have been unfortunate, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. How do you think things would have went? Not so great, huh? In Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30, it tells of God looking for a man to make up the hedge and to stand in the gap for the land. But He found none. God said the people of Israel are going astray. They need someone who's going to stand up, someone who's going to advocate for them, someone who's going to fight for them, someone who's going to speak up. He says, no one wants the responsibility. He said, I found no one. And I'm afraid that's often what's happening, is that people get complacent.
Yeah.
People want somebody else to take the pressure, someone else to take the responsibility, someone else to make the decisions. Or they want to continue to be the one at the helm and not allow anyone else to take over. And so for the people here, they had to step up. They had to learn. They had to study. They had to grow so they could take on this responsibility. It wasn't about everyone saying, okay, sure, I want to be in charge. Okay, sure, I want to take on responsibility. It was, no, there was a fear of God. There was a reverence here. There was a qualification here, right? Who's going to take on this responsibility of speaking to the people, of making the decisions, of leading them in the will of God? Well, they had to learn, they had to grow, they had to be capable. And so they had to study, they had to learn, they had to be teachable so they could take on this responsibility. Mm-hmm. And so whenever people step up, it gives room for growth and for forward momentum. And as long as everyone is content with the status quo, you keep doing what you've always done, you'll keep getting what you've always got. You've heard that before, right?
Yes.
Or at least until things blow up.
Yeah.
And that's what would have happened with Moses. If he would have continued, Jethro was right. This isn't sustainable. Mm-hmm. And so Moses was willing to teach. They were willing to learn. He was willing to let go. They were willing to take it up. They worked together for the good of everyone. It wasn't pride. It wasn't ego. It wasn't wrestling for power. It wasn't wrestling for control. The Bible tells us that it is required of a steward that they be found faithful.
Right.
It tells us that we reap if we faint not. Mm-hmm. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith.
Yes.
And what I find in all of this is there needs to be a sustainable pace. Mm-hmm. There needs to be a sharing of the burden. There needs to be a defining of roles, right? In order to accomplish this, we have to go at a sustainable pace. There's a lot of pressure to do it all, to be it all, to figure it all out. But I find that God desires for us to stay sustainable. so that we can finish the course, so that we can stay faithful, so that we don't burn out, so that we don't blow up. The last thing I want us to look at in this is the unquestioned authority. Okay? We saw that man is limited, right? We saw that the burden could be spread out, that the load could be shared. But the center of all of this, the reason for the success of this whole process, was the fact that it was all done with God at the forefront. This wasn't man figuring it out. It wasn't man's ideas. It wasn't man's power and man's ability. All through this, God was preeminent in the process. They made it about him, not about them. And that's a huge difference. They came to Moses to know what God would have them to do. He was God's representative in this process. And then as he was delegating, as he was deputizing people, he was telling them godly principles. He was teaching them God's will, God's law, God's word, so that they would be able to teach and instruct and decide based on God. Moses wasn't approaching this with, well, if I were you, or this is what I think you should do. It was, this is what God says. This is what God would have you to do. And that's what he was teaching the other people as well. Even whenever Jethro advised Moses, he said there in verse 23, if God command thee. He's like, this is my advice to you, but make sure that whenever you're taking advice, that you are filtering it through the will of God and the word of God. We can't just take someone's advice. We can't just take someone's word for it. We got to go back and say, what does God say about it? All through this passage, the emphasis was on God and not on Moses. Finding God's will, following God's plan, seeking out what God would have them to do, leading in a way that was pleasing to God. And we can't escape that emphasis here. We try to do it all ourselves. We try to do it through our own methods. We're going to have problems. But whenever our focus and our first thought is on God, then we're on a good place, a good trajectory. And so all through this passage, the emphasis was on God. It wasn't on Moses. It wasn't on Jethro. It wasn't even on the men that God, that Moses was going to appoint. If you look at verse number 21, it says, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God and love the truth, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. So the qualification here was they need to value the truth, men of truth, and they need to have a walk with God. Right. We're not just saying, okay, I need someone to carry the load. Here, you guys do it. It's we need to cultivate a God dependence. We need to cultivate a desire to do God's will. And we need to all bear up the burden together for the glory of God, for the good of one another. But God is the forefront. And so wherever we find ourselves in this, it's clear that all things must be subject to God. There's no heroes. There's no lone rangers. And so if you want to take on responsibility, make sure you're walking with God. Simple, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you're looking for someone to help carry the load, look for those who know God and have a relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking for leadership, look to those who will lead you toward God.
Right.
And if you are looking to lead, make sure you are leading people to God,
yeah.
Leading in the right direction. Mm-hmm. Make sure God is in the process. He is over the process. All through the process. And so in this life, we're going to have decisions to make. We'll have responsibilities to carry. We need to make sure the load we're carrying is the load that God meant for us.
Yes.
Some of you may tend to bear burdens that God never intended you to bear. You may be taking on loads that were never yours to take up. And so you need to trust God and others to carry the loads that weren't meant for you. Others may be looking for a person to take on all of their burdens and their responsibilities so they can coast through life. And that's not right either. We need to make sure we're carrying our load and not tearing everyone else's to an unsustainable pace.
Yes.
If you tend to hold on to waste, you trust God to let, and others to carry their part and let those things go. Mm-hmm. If you're the one that is enjoying the lack of load, don't be complacent. You step up because you can do a lot more than you think you can.
Yeah.
And whether you're learning to trust others to help with the load or to trust that you're able to take part of it, you trust God to guide, to strengthen, and to help all along the way.
Yeah.
And I want to say in closing that the greatest load that we carry is sin.
Yes.
The greatest load that we carry is sin. And we don't have to carry it. The Bible lets us know that Jesus came to bear our sins.
Right.
That he took upon himself the sins of us all. And so for the believer, we have a guarantee in the Word of God in 1 John 1:9. That if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you are a Christian here today and you have sin in your life that you're carrying that is weighing you down, is burdening you down, you don't have to carry that load. That's an unnecessary load that Jesus said he would take upon himself.
Mm-hmm.
If you're carrying that load, it will grind you to the ground. But the Bible lets us know that we have an advocate with the Father. The Bible lets us know that he has bled and died to forgive us our sins, that whenever we confess them and forsake them, that he will cast them as far away as the east is from the west. But it takes us confessing and forsaking so that he can cleanse. Otherwise, we just continue being weighed down. I'm not talking about in eternity and paying for those sins. I'm talking about in this life. We carry such a weight we don't have to bear because Jesus said, cast that on him. Trust him to deliver. He's the one that does the cleansing, but it's whenever you confess. As long as you're hiding it from him, he can't cleanse you from it.
Right.
And if you're in here today and you don't know 100% that heaven will be your home when you die, if you don't know that your sins are forgiven, that your soul has been saved, that your debt has been paid, and that heaven is your home, Jesus paid that price. He paid that penalty. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He tells us that he took on that penalty, that punishment, that weight, that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you have never trusted him as your Savior, it is as simple as realizing that you are a sinner, that he has paid your price and he's willing to save you if you will simply trust him. Place your faith in him alone. It's not by good works, not by works of righteousness, which I have done. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So many people are burned down with working for their salvation, with the guilt and shame of their sin, with trying to make it up to God, trying to earn their place in heaven. And that is a weight you cannot carry. But it is a weight that Jesus carried. And he says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He says, I will give salvation to whoever will seek it.
Yes.
And so my challenge to you today, don't try to carry it all yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Don't expect somebody else to carry it all for you.
Mm-hmm.
Take up the burden that you can. Delegate the burdens that you can. Walk with God the entire way, and it all starts whenever you trust in him as your Savior. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we come to you today. Just thank you so much for your blessings on us. We thank you for this time that we've had together. And Lord, we thank you so much for your word that's before us. I pray that it's been a help to the folks that's here. Lord, if there's anyone here that is being crushed under the weight of sin, Lord, they've got shame, they've got guilt, different things, I pray they bring it to you. If they're a believer, that they would confess it and allow you to cleanse them. And Lord, if they are unsaved today, that they would come to you and they would place their faith and trust in you for the salvation of their soul, forgiveness of their sins. Help us now as we leave this place to go out into this world to be a witness, to be a representative of you, Lord, that folks can see you working in our lives, just like we've seen in our story here, as Jethro could see how you had cared for your people and see who you were, that truly you are the very God of all creation, just because he saw you working in the lives of Moses and those people. Lord, may we be a witness in that way. Lord, we thank you so much for all that you do. Thank you for your love. and your patience, your mercy. Lord, in Jesus' name I pray, and amen.